Welcome to episode 26. Great day, amazing humans. Yes, welcome to the Own Your Thrive podcast and Empowered in My Skin production. My name is Nkechi Wafa Robinson, and I am founder and CEO of Empowered in My Skin, an experienced technology executive at one of Canada's largest financial institutions, an author, an International Federation of Bodybuilding pro athlete, an inspirational speaker, and most recently, a viral sensation after my You Matter speech hit over 3 million views worldwide. This show is all about thriving. And I will be bringing on some amazing humans that own their thrive to help you figure out how you too can own yours. So please leave a review on whatever medium you are listening to this on, and make sure to join along on the web at empoweredinmyskin.com so you can be notified when new episodes are available. For now, I'm your girl. Let the show begin. Great day, amazing humans. It's me, and I'm here with an amazing human. She is the founder of A Walk in My Stilettos. She's an award-winning entrepreneur. She has successfully crafted a business in personal development as a mindset coach, helping women reach their goals. She is a certified Proctor Gallagher consultant for her mentor, Bob Proctor. She is a four-time published author. She is the mother of 2 daughters and a boy, and she's so much more stuff, but we're going to get into that now. So put your ears together for the amazing Makini Smith.
I love that. I love your energy. Thank you so much.
And full transparency, you are going to have the very first interview that I did with Makini is going to go out in the next episode. So you'll also hear a very similar introduction. I stopped short of the, like, I was like, oh my gosh, your bio is so awesome. And you are totally fabulous. And I still hold so much space in my heart for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're amazing. And for those of you, you can't see her, but she looks pretty mighty fine in COVID-19. Her quarantine look is pretty hot, if you ask me. So now that we're talking about we're in quarantine, how is Makini doing in quarantine?
Honestly, I am doing well. I'm thriving during quarantine, and I do feel for everyone that is having a really hard time with it. And we all go through, you know, different processes, especially when there's major change. But I've come to a place where I feel great. I'm doing well in my business. I'm thriving in my house. I'm eating 3 meals a day. I'm out doing 5K walks every day. Like, I'm good.
You're good. She looks good, and she's doing good. And so who you hunkered down with?
My children. I'm quarantined with my children, which is why I need the walks outside.
And seriously, how are they doing?
They're good. I mean, my kids are introverts as well, so they're enjoying the indoor time and not being forced to really be out there and interact. And my son has virtual school, and you know, he's online with this class every day, so he's good as well.
And they totally understand the situation. Like, do they have any anxiety about it or anything like that?
They seem really good about it. And I guess that's because my energy around it. Mm-hmm. I don't have anxiety about it. I'm not over, you know, sanitizing every single thing. They feed off of my energy. So because I'm so chill right now,
they're good. They're good and chill, which is good. So good for you too, right? Because chill children are probably pretty cool children. So we've been in quarantine, I think it's going 2 months, right? Like March, April, 2.5 months. So what has this experience been like? What are some of the things that have happened in your life?
Well, interesting enough, I had gone on a vacation to reset, and I came back the Friday morning, and that was the Friday after school, the first day for March break for my son. And I think it was by the end of that day where they're like, yeah, March break is not going to be 2 weeks. It's going to be a month. And that's when quarantine started. I came back from a vacation ready to reset and jump into business, and the world shut down. So it's been a pretty interesting experience. But on the flip side, because everything I do is mostly virtual, it's allowed, I thought business was going to stop for me completely, but I've had more people interested in publishing their books and podcasts. I've had more people interested in doing online coaching. So it's been great. I've been so busy. I think I am more busy now than I was pre-COVID. So I'm in a good space.
And on a personal level, has there been any challenges that you've encountered?
Well, right at the beginning of us being on lockdown, I had a friend that passed away. And because of everything happening with COVID, and I guess everything that happened to anyone, everyone assumed that it was COVID related. But when she passed away, and thank God it wasn't from COVID, mm-hmm. so, you know, she wasn't suffering before she passed, but having to grieve in isolation, I don't think I was ready for that. And after the loss of my sister, my grandmother, and so many people, I think I've had people pass away since then, but this one really hit home for me, and it was very emotional, and it took me a couple of weeks to, I guess, go through that grieving process and get back on my feet or get my head fully in the game. So being isolated and not being able to connect and hug people and have that physical support, and my love language is physical touch. So that isolation for a second, it was challenging at first, but I made my way through it.
And was that the isolation the trigger for you that really brought back, you know, the memories of your sister and your grandmother? And
So her initial passing, I guess because I held her close to my heart. I seen her like a sister, and we had so many amazing conversations and, you know, things in private that we resonated with, and her passing was very unexpected, like extremely. So it was almost like a shock. She was 2 years older than me, so everything was kind of like, what? So then that triggered feelings of losing my sister, but it made me think to myself, as much as when my sister passed, it made me look at life and say, how do I want to be remembered? When my girlfriend passed, I think her family didn't even realize how much she meant to so many people. And social media showed so much love. And every time I went online, my feed was filled with people sharing how she impacted them. So, you know, her family got to see that legacy. So it brought up a lot of emotions for me.
That was a reach. I mean, I have a couple, I know who you're talking about, and I have a couple of WhatsApp groups, and the day that it happened, like, there was a lot of messages. Oh my God, can you imagine this? I didn't realize even that all of these people had known who she was, right? In just the various groups. So just one last question there, because I, you know, you've talked about you found your thrive. Do you know the day where you started to come back into that? Like, what were there things that you did intentionally to say, okay, you know, how do I really start to deal with this grief? And
yes, actually. So, I mean, I had already been working on, because I've been through like crisis after crisis, so many traumatic experiences within the last few years. I had already had coping mechanisms in place, but when she passed, I was almost inclined by nature to seclude myself from everything and, you know, shut myself down. And there was a live that I was listening to where Julie Black was actually your bestie. She was featured on, and she said a comment about healthy motion equals healthy emotion. And I had already been doing walks every day with my son, and I started challenging myself more each day to walk even further. And because of the health challenges that I had last year, a short walk around the block usually had me exhausted and I needed a nap. But challenging myself to get out there and feel the energy and connect with nature and to walk and to be mindful as I'm walking and taking all that in has me at a place where I'm now doing the 5K walks a day. That being outside, I found that actually helped me with processing my emotions. It allowed the creative thinking. It allowed me to feel. It took me out of, I'm going to say, going down into that depressive state. It made me feel great. The walking for sure. The movement kept me going. Yeah.
That's nice. And I guess you have a dog that can also, I hear it, it can take you in your walk. So, you know, for those of you that don't know Makini, and for those of you that are going to know her shortly, she also has a podcast called A Walk in My Stiletto. So I'll make sure that the link is in the show notes. Plus tomorrow you'll hear more about her talking about the podcast. But she's really big on faith and courage and compassion and connection. And she has a great self-care routine. So definitely tune in to the actual full interview. Today, though, I want to bring her on because of her expertise. So really want to leverage your experience right now to help people that are searching to find the right mindset and, you know, find some of that courage and compassion and, you know, connection during this time. So you're big on faith.
Yes.
Our first interview, you mentioned a concept that you have called humble confidence, which is really beautiful. So would love you to put that into practice now. How can we apply humble confidence to this experience?
Okay. So, I mean, when I talk about humble confidence, because I feel like, you know, there's a lot of ego and narcissism happening in our society today, it's being confident enough with some humility in there, being confident and competent in what you're doing. So I feel like in this experience with COVID, there's a lot that we can do for each other based on what we have done in the past. And knowing that none of us have experienced a pandemic before. So no one can tell you what you have to do, what you really should be doing. We can all just give help and resources and advice on how to deal with crisis, right? But I feel like us having the confidence to know that we are people that naturally do love, and so being there for each other and supporting each other and showing love to each other through whatever forms that we can. For example, oh my God, I had to celebrate my 40th birthday during COVID. And I was actually, for the last few years, I've been depressed on my birthday and I thought, this is going to be the worst birthday ever. How am I going to deal with this? This is my 40th. I wanted to celebrate big, but now we're in a pandemic. What now? And the love that I experienced from people. I had surprise visits to my door, surprise deliveries to my door. It was so beautiful. It was probably one of the most beautiful birthdays that I've ever had.
And happy 40th.
Thank you.
40 and fly, 40 and fly. Let's just put that in there. Go on.
Yeah, thank you. But I mean, knowing that we can do certain things and that we have the confidence to do, you know, things that we never thought to do before. A lot of people have had to pivot during COVID. Having the confidence to know that you are capable, you know, there's so many changes and things that we have to adjust to, but having the confidence in knowing that we can, and having looking at our past history of the things that we have done or that we have overcome, so that we feel competent enough to have that confidence.
And I like how you've married confidence and competence, because right away I thought about somebody loses their job, might feel a downslide in their confidence, but it's the keys to remember their competence.
Yes.
Right? Right? And that it wasn't a personal thing, and right, you still have your competence. So how can you apply, yes, that competence to rebuild your confidence? Oh my God, confidence. You got to write a book on competence and confidence. I hear an episode coming or something like that. Maybe it's a journal. I don't know, but you can give me credit when you go and publish that thing there. So that's great. So confidence and competence.
Yes.
Beautiful. Thanks.
You're welcome.
For that. My next question for you is, again, first interview, you guys, I'm pushing it because I want you to listen to the interviews. Absolutely great. You talked about fear is a given for all of us. We are in a period where a lot of people are feeling fear. So yep, if it's a given and you felt the fear and yep, you are where you are and you're doing what you're doing, and you've actually had fearful moments in this experience, how do we use fear in our favor in COVID-19? Like, how can you use fear in your favor?
Okay. So, in the first episode, I explained that none of us are exempt from fear. It is going to happen. And when COVID just started, it was like a viral anxiety because of the news, mm-hmm, because of social media. Everywhere you looked, everything was about the coronavirus and COVID-19. Every time you turned on the TV, every time you turned on social media, every time you spoke to somebody, it became a flood. And that's why I say it was like viral anxiety, where we couldn't escape it. And we all had to learn to adjust to these changes, right? And when there's any type of change in the world or in your life, there are stages that you have to go through. And anxiety is one of them. So a lot of people may not even recognize that that's what they're feeling. But it's like a confusion and frustration. You're like, what is happening? That's your fear, right? And learning to get through that and not to demonize it, to be gentle with yourself, to understand that it's natural to feel that way. And when you come up to that terror barrier, I believe we may have spoke about it in the last episode, but majority of the population will get to that terror barrier and either stay there and be stuck or turn around and go back to what they know. Mm-hmm. But it's pushing through that where we're actually able to reap the rewards. Mm-hmm. So when I talk about me being able to thrive during the pandemic, I went through my process of feeling anxious and feeling confused and feeling that fear, but it was pushing through to be able to thrive right now because I worked through the fear, right? So, I mean, the first stage of that, you know, dealing with that change, like I said, is anxiety, but then there's anger. Some people got really angry, and I would see some things online of people upset about losing their job or upset about having to stay home or any of those things. Like, people were just getting upset and being bitter. And then the next stage is acceptance, where we come to a place where we come to grips with what is happening. We're finding meaning with what's happening, and then being able to adjust and adapt. And I feel like a lot of people now, because we've been in quarantine for 2.5 months, we've had no choice but to adjust and adapt. So like I spoke earlier about people having to pivot their business or figure out a new way to make it work. Mm-hmm. And then the fifth step is to take action. So for me, that was, okay, knowing that we're in a virtual state now, how can I best help people using virtual platforms? How can I, if I can't go out and meet people face to face, if I can't be on stages and platforms, okay, well, adjusting now and doing more online webinars and online masterclasses. But it's creating a plan for yourself that works and then just sharing it with other people. Mm-hmm.
And that's good. I think for me, my aha is I want to just quickly do a scan. Are there any things that I have not readjusted on? Because maybe to your point, I'm stuck in that fearful spot for that, you know, and so I have to figure out the readjustment. So I'm going to take heed some of that advice. So thank you. Very, very, very insightful. Okay. So right mindset. So let's get a little bit into how do we get into the right mindset? We are hearing that things are going to be open up. I know that one of the first things I've observed is how we seem to trust each other differently a little now. I see it in supermarkets. I see it when I go out, people will cross the street just to, I'm like, you're not going to get COVID just walking past me on the sidewalk. So how do we set the right mindset and really be okay to trust again and trust ourselves and trust others?
Wow. I mean, that is definitely going to be a process. that is going to be a huge process because nothing is actually going to go back to the normal pre-pandemic. Everything is going to change. How we interact with one another is going to change. Events are going to change. Traveling is going to change. How, like, corporations run businesses are going to change. Restaurants are going to change. Everything is going to change. So we're going to have to come to, again, a place of acceptance with that and working through that. In terms of being able to trust again, it's almost like when something major happens in your life and you're going through dealing with that trauma, you act differently. Over time, it's almost like those guards come down and you start to, I guess, I don't want to say act normal again, but do the things that you usually do. But you're mindful of what happened in the past. So I know that we'll get back to a place where, you know, we'll feel comfortable hugging again. I cannot wait to hug people.
I know.
I cannot wait to hug people. But it is going to take a lot of time and it's not going to be quick. I mean, even with things starting to reopen, that may change. I don't like to look at too much of the stuff on the news because of the negativity, but the whole quarantine thing may take a lot longer. So businesses going back, how they even implement allowing people to come back to work or allowing people to work remotely, like everything's going to change. So this is where faith comes in, because mm-hmm. it's trusting that regardless of what happens, there will be good that will come from this. There will be better that can come from this. There will be lessons that will be learned from this. So it's all about faith. Because when the second you talk about trust, like faith is belief in the unknown, right? So we've got to trust and we've got to keep that hope in order for us to feel like we can continue.
Mm-hmm. And we have to exercise the superpower of patience.
Absolutely.
So faith and you just said it now that, you know, everything's going to work out. And there's good in everything. And so to me, that just speaks to one other great topic that you love to talk about, which is gratitude. Mm-hmm. And so how do we find and leverage the power of gratitude at this time with a lot of what you just talked about, death, people losing jobs, you know, businesses going insolvent, like, you know, how can we leverage the power of gratitude?
Well, I think everything is about perspective, right? So for example, there may be people who will be complaining that they're stuck at home. Perspective, you get to be at home. You know what I mean?
And a nice home too, probably.
Right? There were so many people that were complaining about their jobs before, complaining about certain things. Okay, well now look at everything. Find the things that you can be grateful for. You may not be grateful about the entire situation. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's upsetting that people are losing their lives and people are, you know, I don't like to do comparative suffering. So some people may be dealing with this and it's so traumatic. And then there are some people that are dealing with this saying, oh my God, I'm thriving and I'm so grateful, like myself. So I'm definitely mindful of that, but being able to look at our situations and say, what do you get to do that you didn't before? Mm-hmm. You know, I've had women in my DMs on Instagram complaining that they used to, like, they love their job, but they hated the commute. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now that 2 hours a day that you used to spend sitting in traffic, what do you get to do with that 2 hours? You know, you get to make more choices with your life right now. You know,
ooh, that's good. I like the way you termed that. Go on.
I feel like we were all so busy hustling and bustling and doing all of these things. This period allows us a second to pause and look at what actually matters. It gives us a second to pause and look at what are we actually doing. Is this helpful? Are we just being busy, or are we serving, or are we being productive? It's looking at your life deeply and saying, okay, what is good here? And you can actually eliminate what's not good. And when you're grateful and living in the moment for right now, in this very moment, then that's when you're given more things to be grateful for. But if you're going to complain about everything, you're not going to be given anything else to be grateful for.
Yeah. And there is so much to be grateful for. And it's,
there are people who are losing their lives. We're alive. Yeah. How about we start there? Let's be grateful we're alive.
Yeah.
Who didn't wake up this morning? Be grateful you woke up this morning.
Two eyes open, right? Yeah.
There are people that don't even have an opportunity to walk outside and get fresh air. There are people who are isolated in hospitals or isolated in condos or places they don't feel they can go outside. Be grateful you get to go outside.
Right. Yeah, it is. And I even know that some of those people, like the way their minds work, there are some people that have disabilities. I heard it the other day. This guy gave a speech. He has a disability. He had a stroke and one whole left side of his body is paralyzed. No, he had a brain hemorrhage in half of his body. And he said, I'm not disabled. I'm temporarily out of service.
Mm-hmm. See, look at that.
You know, legally blind and motivating us, right? So, and it's so funny when you were talking about this is like a pause. It's interesting because I've said it often. This is 2020, the year of perfect vision. So universally, it just makes so much sense, right? To have perfect vision on our lives. Well, we can't do it when we're on the go.
Right. Absolutely. Right.
Yeah. Something had to stop us.
We needed that time to rest and restore. Mm-hmm. Even some people who may have temporarily lost their jobs or not sure what to do for a living, you're getting a second to rest and restore. And thank mm-hmm. God for the Canadian government who, you know, is providing all of the different funding and help and subsidy for people that need it. But think about the people who are experiencing COVID right now in other countries, in third world countries, in countries that depend on tourism.
Right.
Think about those. Imagine if you were in their shoes. So everything in perspective.
Suffering is definitely in perspective.
Absolutely. Think about it. Like, and instead of sitting there saying, oh my God, why me? Why is this happening? Okay, pause for a second. Why is this happening? Mm-hmm. What can I learn from this? What blessing can come from this? What good can come from this?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about perspective.
You talked about, for example, taking the time you used in commute, something you used to complain about. Mm-hmm. And now what can you do with it? So let's talk about that. What can you do about, I know that oftentimes just in my travels and my interactions, a lot of people are not really great at understanding what their gifts and their natural talents and abilities are. And they think it has to be these big bright lights and bright stars. And so maybe I'm somebody who all I've ever done is work for a corporation, and now I'm not, or I have more time on my hands. Like, what are some tips or tricks I can figure out? What is my gift that I can see how I can maximize?
Well, one thing I would recommend is be childlike. Remember what you were how you were when you were a child. You wanted to explore, right? Give yourself that grace to explore, to find out what you do like. Give yourself that chance to explore, to learn new things. What have you always wanted to learn and thought, you know what, I don't have the time for this? You have some time now. Like, give yourself that time to try different things so that you can come to a place of saying, oh, well, I actually really like to do this, or I'm actually really interested in this. Like, I think this extra time, people have time to not only cook fresh meals from home rather than takeout. People have time to be physically active rather than sitting in a car on a commute. People have time to take a course online. People have time to listen to podcasts, to learn, you know what I mean? Like, take the time to explore, and then that'll help you. It allows you the freedom and the imagination to be open, to absorb, because you may not, like you said, someone who's been in a 9-to-5 for so many years, they may not know what they want to do or what they enjoy because they haven't had the time. Mm-hmm. This is the time now to absorb so that you can see what triggers you, what ignites you, what makes you feel good. If you're mm-hmm. listening to somebody's podcast or you're watching something, you're like, oh, I always wanted to try that. Or, oh, that sounds interesting. Try it. Give yourself, again, that grace. Try all of these things, whether you fail it or not, at least you tried, you know, then you'll know what it feels like. And that's how you'll build confidence in doing those things.
Love it. Love it. And so as a final question, you know, I want you to maybe share with the audience, the listeners, what would be your top 3-4 things that you would say incorporate these self-care or these mindset items into your day so you can have a thriving day? What would they be?
I would say to start out with one, getting enough sleep. I think right now, because a lot of people are feeling stress and tension, take the time to get enough sleep. And if you want to be able to heal your body and not worry about if you get sick, how you're going to be able to do better, try and get, like, I'm going to say at least 7 hours of sleep a night. Two, actively practicing gratitude. And if you can't go out and grab my gratitude journal, get an empty notebook somewhere that you can write down and record physically, writing it down so that your brain can process, because when you're writing it down, it forces you to think, it forces you to feel, it forces you to actually, ignite all of these emotions. So get it out on paper. The other thing is, if you can, because a lot of people have a lot of feelings inside that they don't feel comfortable expressing to, say, a friend or even their loved one, write a journal. Start writing in a journal how you feel. That way you're expressing rather than suppressing how you feel. So writing out how you feel. Another thing that I think people should do is just to get active. Be out there, whether it be walking, whether it be exercising, whatever it is, just stay active. You know, a lot of people, I'm seeing a lot of memes online about how people are coming out of COVID, you know, heavier, and that they're in the house eating snacks.
They can't get through the door.
Like, bored in the house, and they're in the house bored. Like, I get it. but stay active. Because bad habits can form very quickly.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're habit forming creatures. So yes. Definitely, you know, working out, stretching, yoga, walking, whatever you need to do to stay active. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I gave you five.
That was four. That's great. That's great. So sleep, get more sleep. You have some time, figure it out. Yep. Gratitude, mm-hmm. actively practicing gratitude. Journaling, there's so much power in journaling. And get active. Those are four top. Those are top notch.
Okay. Well, if you need a fifth one, I would say read. Read. Yeah, definitely read. There is so much knowledge hidden in books.
So learn. Like yeah, take in knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. And so I'm putting you the microphones in your hand. You know, you're speaking out to the world. What is a parting message that you want to leave the listeners with?
I would say we are in this together. It's a common thing I hear these days, but we really are. Don't feel like you're in this alone. Don't feel like you're at home alone. Don't feel like you're the only one experiencing what you're experiencing. And because we're in this together, be open about sharing how you feel and sharing your story. And you will find that it will resonate with so many other people and a community will build around you and you will feel the love. So we're in this together.
Oh, thank you. And I'm so happy you agreed to come on again. I can do like a third and fourth and fifth freaking podcast with you. So I might have to bring you back on as a mindset expert over time. And yeah, no, I honestly honor you for all of the work that you're doing, the space that you're taking up in this world. Keep doing it. I honor you for the changes you've done in my life. And I'll be really, really honest with you. I'm on this is going to be like episode 26 when I was before COVID, I wasn't doing, and I just, you know, you've helped me dream bigger. And I'm like, well, I don't have to follow the lines that say, you know, you should only post one podcast week. I was like, no, I could post Monday. And so, no, I thank you for the ability that you give me and others to just think bigger and better. I thank you for your faith, your courage, your compassion, and your love to connect. So thank you, love.
Thank you.
And to all that you are listening, this is where I say, we're out.
I love it.
I love you.
So there you have it. I hope you're thriving and thoroughly enjoyed this episode. And remember, whatever medium you are listening to this on, please subscribe, like, review, and share this podcast with somebody else that you think could benefit from the tips that were delivered. Because when we share, that is truly when we have the capacity and the power to change the world. It's been awesome hanging with you. It's your girl, and I'm out.